Lauren Carter never planned to fall for her boss. As a young English teacher at Crestview Academy, she prided herself on keeping her private life separate from her work. But Principal Mark Ellison was charming, attentive, and always seemed to understand the pressures she faced. Their late-night conversations in his office turned into something more, a secret that could end both their careers if discovered. Then, one morning, the world changed. Explicit videos of Lauren and Mark surfaced online, sent from an anonymous account to every parent, teacher, and student at Crestview. The scandal ignited a media firestorm. Lauren insists she was manipulated, coerced by Mark's power and promises. Mark claims every moment was mutual and consensual. As the investigation spirals, the lines between truth and lies blur. Careers, reputations, and lives hang in the balance, and the secret at the story's heart is more twisted than anyone can imagine. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Quiet Before. Lauren Carter always noticed the way light moved through the halls of Crestview Academy. In the mornings, golden shafts spilled across the linoleum, catching on the lockers like an invitation to possibility. By afternoon, those same halls seemed to narrow, the shadows thickening just enough to remind you that every building, no matter how new, held secrets. Lauren liked to think she kept hers better than most. That Monday morning started no differently. She arrived before the sun, clutching a thermal mug and a folder of essays marked with red ink. The parking lot was empty, except for the janitor's old Chevy, and she noticed Principal Mark Ellison's sleek black sedan. He was always early, but never this early. Lauren made a mental note, tucking it away with all the other details she noticed, but never voiced. Inside her classroom, Lauren sank into her chair, scanning lesson plans while the school's ancient heating system sputtered to life. Outside her window, the flag snapped in the winter wind. Her phone buzzed, a calendar reminder for the weekly faculty meeting. Another Monday, another hour of polite nodding and budget updates. She was halfway through her first cup of coffee when her phone buzzed again, this time with a message from Mark. Mark Ellison, can you stop by my office before class? Just need your opinion on something. Lauren hesitated, staring at the screen. It was innocuous, the kind of request any principal might make. But lately, nothing between them was innocent. Their friendship had grown quietly over the past year, first at staff meetings, then at post-work drinks with colleagues, and then, inevitably, alone in his office after everyone else had gone home. She gathered her things and walked down the silent hallway. The click of her heels echoed, a lonely sound at this hour. Mark's office door was ajar, yellow lamplight spilling out, and she could see him at his desk, tie loosened, sleeves rolled up, brow furrowed over a stack of documents. "Morning, Lauren," he said, looking up with that easy smile. It was the same one he wore at assemblies, when he wanted the students to know he was on their side. "Good morning," she replied, trying to keep her tone light, professional. She closed the door softly behind her. He leaned back, studying her. "I'm glad you came. You always seem to know the right answer when I'm stuck." She perched on the edge of the chair across from his desk, acutely aware of the space between them. "What's up?" Mark slid a folder across the desk. "It's about the senior project proposals. I want to make sure we're not approving anything questionable." Lauren opened the folder, scanning the papers. "You mean like the time someone proposed a documentary on vaping in the locker rooms?" He chuckled. "Exactly. We need to stay ahead of the headlines, especially these days." She nodded, pretending to read. In truth, she could barely focus. She was hyper-aware of the way his gaze lingered on her, the way his foot tapped out a silent rhythm beneath the desk. She'd been here before. in this very chair, on nights when the school was empty, when the conversation turned from curriculum to confessions. Now, with the fluorescent lights flickering and the hallway just beyond, it all felt risky, too risky. And yet, "Mark," she said quietly, "maybe we should..." He cut her off with a glance. "I know. It's not the right time. Not with everything going on." She let out a slow breath. They both knew what they were talking about, even if they never named it out loud. Their affair, if that's what it was, had begun with small things. A late email, a lingering hand on her shoulder, an inside joke. But it had grown, quietly, in the shadows of Crestview. It was equal parts comfort and danger. She handed back the folder. "Looks fine to me. Just keep an eye on Jake Simmons. He likes to push boundaries." Mark smiled. "So do I." There it was, again. The thrill. The secret. She stood to leave, suddenly desperate for the normalcy of her classroom. "I'll see you at the meeting," she said, and slipped out before he could say more. The faculty meeting was uneventful, just as she expected. Teachers shuffled in, jackets pulled tight, whispering about the latest parent complaint or budget cut. Lauren took her usual seat near the back, smiling at her friend Jenna, who taught math and seemed blissfully unaware of the currents swirling beneath the surface of school politics. Mark entered last, carrying a sheaf of papers and looking every inch the competent, overworked administrator. He started the meeting with a few bad jokes, then launched into announcements, new testing standards, a reminder about the upcoming winter dance, a stern warning about professional boundaries with students. Lauren listened, half engaged, scanning the room for any sign that someone knew her secret. If they did, they didn't show it. The meeting ended and the staff filed out, already making plans for lunch. Mark caught Lauren's eye as she left, just a flicker. But it was enough. She felt exposed, even though she'd done nothing but sit quietly and take notes. Classes began, and for a while, Lauren could lose herself in the work. She loved teaching, loved the energy of teenagers who still believed anything was possible. Her juniors were reading The Crucible, and she led them in a spirited discussion about power, truth, and rumour. She felt herself relax, at least a little. In the classroom, she was in control, but between classes, she checked her phone compulsively. There were no new messages from Mark, only a text from her sister about dinner plans and a notification from her bank. Still, the anxiety lingered. The more she tried to ignore it, the louder it grew. At lunch, Lauren sat with Jenna and a few others in the staff lounge. The conversation drifted from lesson plans to school gossip. "Did you hear about the new security cameras?" Jenna asked, stabbing at her salad. "They're putting them in the hallways now." Lauren tensed. "I heard something about it at the meeting, supposed to cut down on vandalism." Jenna rolled her eyes. "Or maybe they just want to watch us all the time. Feels creepy, honestly." Someone else chimed in. "I don't mind. Maybe it'll finally stop the kids from vaping in the bathrooms." Lauren forced a smile, feeling sweat prick the back of her neck. Security cameras meant less privacy, fewer shadows, fewer places to hide. The rest of the day passed in a blur. Lauren tried to focus on her students, grading papers, planning lessons, but every time she passed Mark in the hallway, her heart raced. Was it just her, or were other people watching too closely? Was there a rumour she didn't know about? A look exchanged in the teacher's lounge. After school, Lauren stayed late, claiming she needed to finish grading. By the time she packed up to leave, the halls were nearly empty, dusk bleeding in through the windows. As she stepped outside, she saw Mark standing by his car, talking quietly on the phone. When he saw her, he ended the call and waved her over. She hesitated, then crossed the parking lot. Her breath misted in the cold air. "Long day?" he asked. She shrugged. "Just needed to catch up." He glanced around, making sure no one was watching. "I miss you," he said quietly. "I know it's complicated, but..." She cut him off, her voice barely above a whisper. "Mark, we can't keep doing this. Someone's going to find out. The cameras, the gossip. It's too risky." He reached for her hand, but she pulled away. "Lauren, I care about you. I don't want to lose this, whatever this is." She shook her head, tears prickling at her eyes. "We have to stop, for both our sakes." He looked wounded, but nodded. "Okay, if that's what you want." She turned and walked to her car, fighting the urge to look back. She felt the weight of his gaze on her until she closed the door and started the engine. That night, Lauren lay awake, replaying every word, every glance. She knew she should end it for good, but part of her missed the thrill, the secret connection. It made her feel alive in a way nothing else did. She was drifting towards sleep when her phone buzzed. A new message from an unknown number. "Unknown, nice performance today. You and the principal make a cute couple. X." Lauren sat up, heart pounding. The message was followed by a video clip, grainy footage of her and Mark in his office, talking, laughing, Mark brushing her hand. The camera was hidden, the angle distorted, but it was unmistakably them. Her blood ran cold. She tried to breathe, but her lungs felt tight. Who would do this? How did they get the footage? Was it the new security cameras? Someone on staff? A student? A second message followed. "Unknown. Don't worry, Lauren. This is just the beginning." She stared at the screen, fingers trembling. Panic gave way to dread, then anger. Someone was watching. Someone knew. She texted Mark, her fingers flying. "Lauren, we need to talk. Now, urgent." No response. Lauren lay back, staring at the ceiling, her mind spinning. The walls of her carefully constructed life were closing in. Secrets never stayed hidden forever. Somewhere in the darkness, her phone buzzed again. "Unknown, sweet dreams." Lauren didn't sleep at all. Chapter 2, The First Fallout. Lauren's alarm jolted her awake at 5:55 a.m., but she'd barely slept. Her body ached from tension, her mind racing with the anonymous texts and that grainy video clip. She'd replayed every frame, searching for a clue. A face in a reflection, a slip of a voice. But all she saw was herself and Mark, caught on camera in a moment of fragile trust. She tried calling Mark again, her thumb hovering over his number, but his line went straight to voicemail. Downstairs, her kitchen felt cold and unfamiliar. She forced herself to drink coffee, stare out the window at the pink tinge of dawn. She kept checking her phone for a message from Mark, or even another from the mysterious X-nothing. Her thoughts darted like moths in the dark. Could it be a student? A teacher? Was this just the beginning, or had it already gone further than she knew? By the time she arrived at Crestview Academy, the school felt changed. Darker somehow, though the sun was bright and the flag hung still against a clear blue sky. Lauren carried her bag like a shield and kept her eyes low as she walked to her classroom. Inside, Jenna was waiting, frowning at the stack of books on Lauren's desk. "You okay?" she asked softly. "You look exhausted." Lauren managed a smile, but it didn't reach her eyes. "Didn't sleep much. I think I'm coming down with something." Jenna stepped closer. "If you need to talk..." Lauren shook her head, thankful for the concern, but unable to share the real reason. "I'll be fine. just need caffeine and maybe a snow day. Jenna squeezed her arm, lingering for a heartbeat longer than usual. If you change your mind, I'm here. Lauren watched her leave, feeling more alone than before. The first class passed in a blur. Lauren's students seemed their usual distracted selves, texting under desks and half listening as she discussed Arthur Miller and the moral costs of secrets. She almost laughed at the irony. When she caught Emily Fraser passing a note, Lauren let it go with just a look. But as the bell rang and students spilled into the hallway, Lauren noticed the way two juniors lingered by her door, glancing in, then whispering. She brushed it off. Kids always gossiped, but couldn't shake the feeling of being observed. Halfway through the second period, her phone vibrated again. This time it was Mark. Mark, do not reply here. Meet me in the faculty parking lot at lunch. Delete these messages. Her stomach lurched. She deleted the message instantly, then looked up to find her class waiting. She forced herself to continue, but her mind was elsewhere, repeating Mark's words. Do not reply. Meet me. Delete. Lunch period couldn't come fast enough. Lauren slipped out a side door and crossed the empty lot, pulling her coat tight against the wind. Mark was already there, standing by his car, his expression grave. He looked around, then opened the passenger door. Get in, he said quietly. Inside, the air smelled faintly of his cologne, familiar and strange all at once. Mark's face was tense, eyes darting as if every passing student could be a threat. Did you get the videos too? Lauren whispered, hands gripping her knees. He nodded. Last night. Sent to my private email. Same sender. X. He ran a hand through his hair. I don't know how they got the footage, but it's bad. We have to assume they have more. Lauren's throat tightened. Do you think it's a teacher? A student? Mark shook his head. I don't know. But whoever it is, they know what they're doing. They want to scare us. And it's working. For a moment, neither spoke. Lauren's heart pounded. Should we go to the police? Mark hesitated, his jaw clenching. If we do, the school board finds out, the parents, the media, we lose everything. Lauren bristled. We might lose everything anyway. Mark reached for her hand, but she pulled away. Don't. Not here. He nodded, looking away. We need to get ahead of this. Act normal. No more meetings, no texts. If anyone asks, there's nothing between us. Lauren's eyes stung. Is that what you want? Mark's voice softened. It's what we have to do. For now. Lauren slid out of the car, the door closing with a dull thud. She felt the walls closing in, a prison built of secrets and silence. Back in her classroom, Lauren found an envelope on her desk. No name, just Ms. Carter in messy handwriting. Her hands shook as she opened it. Inside was a single printout, a screenshot from the video, the timestamp in the lower corner. Someone had circled Lauren's face in red ink and written one word below. Liar. Her stomach lurched. She shoved the envelope deep into her bag, heart thudding so loud she could barely hear her students as they filed in. She wanted to run, scream, confess, but all she could do was teach. The rest of the day crawled by. Lauren kept expecting someone to burst in, to accuse her, but no one did. Life at Crestview moved forward, even as Lauren's world teetered. After school, she called her sister, Sarah, and tried to sound normal. Want to grab dinner tonight? She asked, desperate for any distraction. Sarah agreed, and they met at a local diner, the kind of place with laminated menus and bottomless coffee. Lauren tried to lose herself in the rhythm of small talk. Sarah's work drama, their mum's latest obsession with gardening, a neighbour's new dog. But Lauren kept glancing at her phone, waiting for another message. She wanted to tell Sarah everything, to unburden herself, but the words stuck in her throat. She was afraid of what would happen if she spoke them aloud. Sarah noticed. "You're not really here tonight," she said, half teasing. "Everything okay?" Lauren smiled, too quickly. "Just tired. School's a lot lately." Sarah gave her a look, the kind that said, "I know you're hiding something, but I won't push. For now." They parted in the parking lot, Sarah's hug tight and lingering. "Call me if you need anything," she whispered. Lauren nodded, watching her sister drive away, wishing she could rewind to a simpler time. When Lauren got home, she found her front door slightly ajar. Her heart leapt into her throat. She scanned the porch. No sign of forced entry, no broken windows. She stepped inside, every sense on edge. The living room was untouched, so was the kitchen. She crept upstairs, phone clutched in her hand, ready to dial 911. In her bedroom, everything looked normal until she saw her laptop open on her bed, the screen dark. Lauren froze. She was sure she hadn't left it there. She'd last used it in the kitchen the night before. She powered it up, heart thumping. The desktop looked normal until she saw a new folder on the screen labelled "Play Me." Hands shaking, she double-clicked. Inside were dozens of screenshots, her and Mark in his office in the parking lot, and chillingly, a shot of her asleep in her own bed, taken from the hallway. Lauren gasped, stumbling backward, her chest tight with terror. Someone had been in her house. The final file was a video. Mark, pacing his office, ranting into his phone. The audio was garbled, but one phrase was clear. "If this comes out, I'm ruined." The implications hit Lauren like a punch. Someone had access to every part of her life. They wanted her scared, wanted her desperate. Her phone buzzed, unknown. "Did you enjoy the gift? Do as you're told, and maybe no one else needs to see more." Lauren's knees buckled, and she slid to the floor, tears streaming down her face. She was trapped, and for the first time, she wasn't sure she could escape. The next day at school, Lauren's anxiety was palpable. Every interaction felt loaded, every glance suspicious. Even Jenna seemed to be watching her too closely. The faculty lounge buzzed with talk of budget cuts and new school policies, but Lauren felt like she was floating outside her own body, barely able to process the words. Mark avoided her completely, keeping his distance, his eyes never meeting hers. Lauren wanted to scream at him, to demand he fight for them, but she understood he was protecting himself now. When the final bell rang, Lauren fled to her car, desperate for the safety of home. But as she unlocked her door, she spotted a slip of paper wedged under the windshield wiper. "Leave now, or everyone finds out." She crumpled it in her fist, her breath shaky. That night, Lauren began to research digital privacy, hacking, and hidden cameras. She changed her passwords, taped over her laptop's camera, checked her house for anything suspicious. But she was no expert. She felt helpless, outmatched by whoever was stalking her. When the next message arrived, she almost didn't want to look. "Unknown. One last warning, Lauren. Quit your job, disappear, or the videos go public." She sat in the darkness, her world collapsing around her, and for the first time, she considered what it would mean to run, to leave Crestview, her students, her life, behind. But as she stared at the screen, Lauren felt something shift. Anger, cold and clear, began to replace her fear. Whoever was behind this thought, she was weak. They wanted her gone, silent, erased. She wasn't going to let them win. Chapter 3, The Gathering Storm. Lauren woke to rain hammering her bedroom window, the sky a slate grey that made everything feel heavier. Her dreams had been fractured, faces without names, voices whispering from shadows. Each time she blinked awake, she saw that folder on her laptop, Play Me. Screenshots of her life, stolen from the privacy of her home. The morning routine felt surreal. She checked every lock twice before leaving. Her phone was never out of reach. She skipped coffee, unable to stomach the thought. As she drove through puddled streets toward Crestview Academy, the wipers beat a nervous rhythm. She forced herself to focus on the road, not the sense that someone was watching. As she parked in her usual spot, she glanced at every car in the lot, searching for a sign, a face, a flash, anything out of place. But it was just Crestview in the rain, empty sports fields, yellow buses, a line of sleepy students hunched under hoods. Inside, the halls buzzed with their own electricity. Rumours seemed to flicker like static in the air, even if no one said a word to her directly. Lauren walked with purpose, nodding at a few familiar faces, careful to seem normal. She felt eyes on her anyway, as if everyone already knew her secret. During first period, she tried to lose herself in teaching. She wrote questions on the board, moved through the rows, kept her voice calm and steady, but her thoughts kept drifting. To the threats, to the evidence piling up, to the person watching her every move. When the bell rang, Jenna poked her head in. "You free for lunch today? I need to vent about seventh graders." Lauren hesitated. A lunch with Jenna sounded safe, normal. Maybe she could even say something, test the waters. "Yeah, of course. Your room?" Jenna nodded, then frowned. "Are you sure you're okay? You seem not yourself." Lauren managed a weak smile. "Just tired. But lunch sounds good." At lunch, Jenna rambled about the new math curriculum and a student who'd mixed up their algebra homework with their mother's grocery list. Lauren forced a laugh at the right moments, grateful for the distraction. Jenna studied her, concern clear in her eyes. "Listen, I don't want to pry, but if something's going on, if you ever need help, you know you can trust me, right?" Lauren felt a lump rise in her throat. She almost blurted it out, all of it, the affair, the threats, the videos, but fear clamped her jaw shut. If Jenna knew, would she be safe, or would she become another target? "Thanks, Jen. Really, I'll be okay," Lauren finally said, eyes dropping to her sandwich. The silence stretched, broken only by the distant clatter of lockers. After lunch, Lauren decided to fight back. She wouldn't let her life be dictated by a faceless bully. If Mark wouldn't help her, she'd have to help herself. Her first stop was the IT office, a cluttered cubicle run by Mr. Hayes, a gentle giant with an encyclopedic knowledge of every device in the building. Lauren hesitated in the doorway, the hum of servers making the air feel charged. Mr. Hayes looked up, blinking behind thick glasses. "Ms. Carter, what brings you here?" Lauren forced herself to stay calm. "I think someone's been tampering with my school computer. Strange files showing up. Stuff I never saved. Is there a way to check if anyone's accessed my machine remotely?" Mr. Hayes nodded, already wheeling over to his monitor. "Happens more often than you'd think. Students are clever these days. What kind of files?" She kept her story vague. "Just strange screenshots, not the whole truth. It looked like images from my classroom. I'm worried about privacy." Hayes ran a quick scan. "No new logins here, nothing from outside the district network, but these systems aren't as secure as they should be. Do you want me to run a deeper check?" Lauren hesitated. "Would anyone else know about this check?" He shook his head. "Just between us, Ms. Carter." She let out a breath. "Please, And if you see anything strange, let me know. Hayes nodded, already typing furiously. Back in her classroom, Lauren's nerves felt raw. The envelope with Liar still hid in her bag, a silent weight. She stared at her laptop, paranoia creeping in. Had it always been so easy to break in? Was she imagining threats where none existed? Or was she already too late? A new email arrived, a single line, no subject, from unknown. You're running out of time! Lauren slammed the laptop shut, pulse racing. She almost screamed. She needed help. She needed answers. But who could she trust? After school, Lauren sat in her car and stared at the rain. The world outside was grey, distorted by streaks on the glass. She considered going home, but her house no longer felt safe. Instead, she drove to the edge of town, pulling into the gravel lot of a quiet coffee shop. Inside, she took a seat by the window, phone in hand. She typed Mark's number twice before deleting the message each time. What could she even say? They were both trapped now, together and alone. She was stirring her coffee when someone slid into the chair across from her. It was Mrs. Beecham, the guidance counsellor, her eyes kind but sharp. Lauren, Mrs. Beecham said quietly, I hope you don't mind. I saw your car, thought you could use some company. Lauren managed a wan smile. I guess I'm easy to find. Mrs. Beecham studied her, then said, There's a lot of talk at school lately. People sense when something isn't right. Lauren stiffened. Is it about me? Beecham shook her head. Not just you. This school has always had secrets, but you look like someone being followed by a storm, Lauren. A tear slipped down Lauren's cheek before she could stop it. I don't know what to do. I think someone's trying to ruin me. Beecham reached across the table, squeezing her hand. If you're in trouble, you need to get ahead of it. You can't do this alone. Lauren nodded, feeling both relief and dread. I want to believe that. Beecham's voice dropped to a whisper. You're not the first person at Crestview to get caught in a web, but if you want my advice, save every message, every file. Write everything down, even the things that scare you. Lauren nodded, grateful. Maybe she'd found an ally after all. That night, Lauren did as Mrs. Beecham suggested. She made copies of every message, every threatening email. She wrote down everything she could remember, the timeline of the affair, the first odd message. The night her laptop was moved, she stored the files on a flash drive and hid it in her car. As she worked, another message appeared. Unknown. Last chance. Quit, or you'll wish you had. Lauren stared at the screen, her fear replaced by fury. She typed a reply for the first time. Lauren, who are you? What do you want from me? The response was instant, unknown, obedience. Silence. Or pain. Lauren's hand shook as she deleted the conversation, but she refused to back down. She was done being prey. The next morning, Crestview was chaos. The security office was flooded with parents demanding answers about privacy breaches. Someone had posted flyers in the hallways, screenshots of Lauren and Mark, faces blurred, but context obvious. Whispers followed her everywhere she went. Mark tried to catch her between classes, his face drawn and tired. This is out of control, he whispered. We need to go to the board. Lauren glared. We needed to do that days ago. Now it's too late. He reached for her, but she pulled away. I'm done covering for you, Mark. I'm done hiding. He nodded, defeated. Whatever happens, I'm sorry, Lauren. I never wanted you to get hurt. She left him standing in the hallway, lost in a sea of faces. For the first time, she realized she might have to fight this battle alone. At home that night, Lauren set up a camera by her front door. She called a lawyer, leaving a message she never thought she'd have to record. "Someone is threatening me. I need help." She sat in the darkness, waiting. And as the clock ticked toward midnight, Lauren made a promise to herself. She would not run. She would not let fear control her. Whoever was behind this storm, no matter how close, no matter how hidden, she would find them. And when she did, the truth would come out. Chapter 4. Exposure. The morning air was sharp with the promise of winter. Lauren parked far from the main entrance, her hood pulled low, sunglasses hiding tired eyes. Crestview Academy was under siege, by rumour, by suspicion, and now by the growing presence of news vans crowding the curb. Satellite dishes sprouted on rooftops, camera crews jostled for position. The quiet school had become a stage, and Lauren felt the weight of 1,000 unseen eyes. Her phone vibrated before she reached the doors. A news alert. Her name. Mark's name. Small town rocked by school sex scandal. Investigation ongoing. She clicked it away, her hands shaking. She wondered if her parents had seen it yet, or her college friends, or the handful of people who still believed in her. Inside, the air was thick with whispers. Students huddled in corners, their eyes flicking up as Lauren passed. Teachers avoided her gaze, conversations halting mid-sentence. It felt like drowning, each step an effort, each breath tight with shame and fury. In the main office, Principal Ellison sat at his desk, staring at a stack of papers. His hair was unkempt, jaw shadowed with stubble. The phone rang and rang. He didn't pick up. Lauren lingered in the doorway. "Mark?" He looked up, hollow-eyed. "They've suspended me, pending the board's decision. There's going to be a hearing next week. Lawyers, union reps, the whole circus." "I'm sorry," she said, not sure what else there was to say. Mark's hands trembled. "You need to get out of here, Lauren. Take a leave. This is going to get worse." Lauren shook her head. "Running makes us look guilty. I'm not going to disappear." He almost smiled, but it was a broken thing. "You always were braver than me." She turned to leave, but Mark's voice stopped her. "Lauren, did you ever think we were careful? Did you ever worry it would come to this?" She paused. "I did. But I wanted to believe we could outrun the consequences." Mark looked away. "There's always a cost." Lauren spent her free period with Mrs. Beecham, the guidance counsellor. The office was a sanctuary, cluttered with student artwork and soft lamplight. "Have you saved everything, like I said?" Beecham asked, her voice low. Lauren nodded, sliding the flash drive across the desk. Every message, every threat, every file dot. Beecham copied the contents onto her own computer, her movements efficient. "I have a friend with the sheriff's office, someone who understands digital forensics. If you want, I'll make sure they see this, off the record, for now." Lauren hesitated, the fear of escalation warring with her need for help. "Okay, please, I can't do this alone." Beecham squeezed her hand. "You're not alone anymore." The school day passed in fragments. Lauren kept her head down, focusing on her students, some defiant, some sympathetic, all caught in the undertow. She tried to lose herself in the familiar routines, calling roll, handing out essays, leading discussions. But each time her phone buzzed, her heart leapt to her throat. At lunch, Jenna found her in the library, away from prying eyes. "Lauren, is it true?" she whispered, eyes wide. "About you and Mark?" Lauren considered lying, but the exhaustion was too deep. "We made mistakes, but it's not what they're saying." Jenna's voice softened. "If you need somewhere to stay, or just someone to talk to, come to me, okay? Lauren nodded, grateful for the offer. Do you know who's behind it? Jenna pressed, her own fear visible. Lauren shook her head. Number, but they're still watching, still threatening. Jenna shuddered. Be careful. There are people here who want blood. Doesn't matter whose. The board hearing loomed on Friday. The school prepared for the onslaught. Security guards, media liaisons, stern emails to parents. Mark spent his days at home answering calls from lawyers. Lauren met with her union rep, a hard-faced woman named Denise, who insisted, say nothing, admit nothing, the district will eat you alive if you slip. Lauren's lawyer was calmer, but no less blunt. The law is on your side, but public opinion isn't. Stick to the facts, do not respond to provocation. Every night, new messages arrived. The sender taunted her with details only an insider could know, what she wore to bed, her favourite mug, the code she used for her classroom door. Unknown. You're not safe here. You never were. Lauren changed her locks, slept with a heavy flashlight under her pillow, and left her lights on all night. She tried to act brave for her students, but the fear clung to her skin. On the day of the hearing, Crestview's auditorium filled with teachers, parents, and reporters. Lauren sat beside her lawyer, shoulders rigid, hands locked in her lap. Mark was there too, pale and silent, eyes fixed on the floor. The superintendent spoke first, his words careful and cold. The integrity of our school must come before any one individual. Today, we will hear evidence concerning violations of our code of conduct. Denise nudged Lauren, her whisper sharp. Breathe, don't let them see you sweat. One by one, board members asked questions. When did the relationship begin? Did you ever feel pressured? Was there ever coercion? Lauren answered each in a clear, steady voice, her story unwavering. Then the board produced a stack of printouts, screenshots, emails, the blurred flyers from the hallway. Lauren's lawyer objected, illegally obtained, anonymous source. The room erupted in murmurs. The board conferred, then decided to allow the evidence provisionally. The questions grew sharper, the tone more accusatory. Ms. Carter, do you deny these images are of you and Principal Ellison? Lauren steadied herself. They appear to be, but they were captured without my consent. They're being used to threaten and manipulate me. A reporter raised her hand. Are you claiming to be a victim? Lauren met her gaze. I'm saying, someone is trying to destroy both of us, for reasons we don't yet understand. I'm asking for help, not judgment. For a moment, the room went silent. Then, from the back of the auditorium, a voice called out, distorted, familiar. You should have quit when you had the chance. Every head turned. A figure in a dark hoodie stood by the exit, phone raised, recording everything. Security moved in, but the figure slipped away, swallowed by the crowd. Panic rippled through the audience. The board called for order. Lauren's heart hammered, dread and fury rising. After the hearing, the sheriff's office took over. Mrs. Beecham's contact, Deputy Serena Hall, met with Lauren in the staff room. We're treating this as a case of cyber stalking, potentially criminal harassment, Deputy Hall said, her tone brisk but kind. I need you to make a full statement, everything, even the things that seem small. Lauren nodded, her voice cracking. I just want my life back. Hall's gaze softened. We'll do everything we can, but you need to be ready. Whoever is doing this, they're not finished. That night, Lauren walked through her house, closing curtains, checking locks, her nerves raw. She'd told her truth in public. The worst had happened, and she was still standing. But somewhere out there, her tormentor watched and waited. As Lauren stood in her living room, phone in hand, another message arrived. Unknown. Nice speech today. Let's see what happens when the rest comes out. Lauren stared into the darkness outside her window, refusing to back down. Whatever storm was coming, she would face it head on. This time, she wasn't alone. Chapter 5. Breaking Point. For Lauren, the days after the hearing felt like wandering through a storm, each hour darker, each moment heavier. She was back in her classroom. But everything had changed. Parents sent angry emails. Students whispered. Even colleagues who'd once shared jokes in the lounge now avoided her, unsure of the cost of taking sides. What no one saw was Lauren's exhaustion. The endless nights, the constant fear, the sick feeling every time her phone buzzed, yet something inside her hardened, like steel forged by fire. She would not let her life be stolen by a shadow. She would not let her silence be her answer. On Tuesday morning, she arrived at school before sunrise. She walked the silent halls, watching the way her breath fogged in the cold. The air was sharp, clean, almost hopeful. In her classroom, she sat at her desk and opened her laptop, determination guiding her hands. She started to write. To whom it may concern. If you're reading this, you need to know the truth. About me. About what's been happening at Crestview. About why I refuse to be silent anymore. She wrote for an hour, pouring out everything. The affair, the threats, the stalking, the loneliness. She didn't ask for sympathy. She asked for understanding. She printed copies for her lawyer, for Mrs. Beecham, for the sheriff's office. When the bell rang, Lauren was ready. The school board had placed Mark on indefinite administrative leave, pending the outcome of the sheriff's investigation. Lauren heard he was staying with a friend in another town, unreachable, trying to save what little remained of his career. He didn't answer her calls. She wondered if he blamed her or if he blamed himself. Meanwhile, Deputy Hall became a constant presence at Crestview. She interviewed teachers, checked the security cameras, reviewed Lauren's files. Each day, Hall's tone grew more urgent. "Whoever's behind this is smart," Hall told Lauren after school. "They're covering their tracks, VPNs, burner phones, no fingerprints, but they made one mistake. The printout left on your desk. There was a partial fingerprint on the envelope. We're running it now." Lauren felt a spark of hope, but also fear. What if it was someone she knew? That afternoon, as Lauren was gathering her things, Jenna appeared in the doorway. "I made you dinner," Jenna said, holding up a foil-covered casserole. "You look like you haven't eaten in days." Lauren laughed, a short, surprised sound. "You're a lifesaver, seriously." They sat in Lauren's classroom, eating and talking. For the first time in weeks, Lauren relaxed. She told Jenna about the investigation, about Deputy Hall's optimism, about how tired she was of being afraid. Jenna squeezed her hand. "You're the bravest person I know. No matter what happens, I'm with you." Lauren smiled. She believed her. But when Jenna left, Lauren found an envelope slipped under her windshield wiper. Again. Inside was a single photograph. Jenna and Lauren, laughing together at last year's staff party, arms slung around each other. Written on the back, in that same sharp handwriting, "How many people will you ruin before you quit?" Lauren's hands trembled as she dialed Deputy Hall. "It's not just about me anymore," she said. "They're targeting people close to me, my friends." Hall's voice was firm. "You did the right thing by calling. Don't let them isolate you. That's what they want." Lauren nodded, heart pounding. She realized that whoever was behind this, They weren't just after her job or reputation. They wanted her alone, powerless. But Lauren was done being afraid. That night, after double-checking every lock, Lauren sat at her kitchen table and opened her laptop again. She logged into her social media account, one she hadn't touched since the story broke, and typed a message, "To my students and their families, I know you've heard stories about me. Some are true, some are lies. I made mistakes, but I am being threatened and stalked by someone who wants to hurt not just me, but all of us. If you have seen anything suspicious at school, messages, photos, videos, I urge you to speak to Deputy Hall. Please help me protect our community." She hesitated, then hit post. Within minutes, comments flooded in, some cruel, some kind. Old students reached out in private messages, sharing memories, offering support. Lauren felt something in her shift again. She wasn't alone, not anymore. The next day, Deputy Hall called with news. "The fingerprint matches a partial in the staff directory. We can't be sure, but it's enough to question them. I'll keep you updated." Lauren's heart hammered as she waited for a name. Was it someone she worked with every day? Someone she trusted? At lunch, Mrs. Beecham joined her in the lounge. "You're stronger than you think, Lauren," she said. "But the fight isn't over." Lauren nodded, determined. "I'm not backing down." Mrs. Beecham squeezed her shoulder. "Good, because you've started something here. People are watching, and not just the ones who want you gone." As the week ended, the school buzzed with rumours that the police were close to making an arrest. Lauren sensed it too, eyes in the halls, hurried whispers, students who looked at her with a new respect. But danger hadn't passed. On Friday, as Lauren was packing up to leave, she received a new message. "Unknown, truth hurts, doesn't it? You have one last chance. Quit, or the next video goes to every local news station. You won't be able to show your face in this town ever again." Lauren felt the familiar wave of fear. But now, underneath it, something else grew. A stubborn fire. She wasn't quitting. She wouldn't run. She replied, fingers steady, "Lauren, do your worst. I'm not afraid of you anymore." That night, she slept with the lights on, but for the first time, she dreamed of standing at the front of her classroom. Unafraid, she dreamed of sunlight pouring through the windows, of laughter, of belonging. And when she woke to a new dawn, Lauren knew the only way out was through. The truth would come out. She would see to it, no matter what it cost. Chapter 6, The Mask Slips. By Monday, Crestview Academy felt less like a school and more like a stage for a public reckoning. Media vans idled outside. A police cruiser was parked by the gym entrance. Rumours swirled in the halls about Lauren, about Mark, about who would be next. The teachers' lounge was nearly empty, the air thick with anxiety. Lauren, however, walked taller. She had gone weeks feeling powerless, but after speaking out, the fear had started to give way to something fiercer. She still double-checked locks and scanned her surroundings, but her hands no longer shook when her phone buzzed. Her anger was a shield, her focus a weapon. Still, the threat was real. Every day brought new pressure. Students she didn't know left cryptic notes in her mailbox, some supportive, some threatening. Parents glared at her in the parking lot. Jenna was careful, walking Lauren to her car at the end of each day, but Lauren knew she worried too. Mrs. Beecham called every evening just to hear her voice. Deputy Hall's investigation had grown. More teachers were interviewed. Devices were seized for forensic scans. One gym coach had left abruptly. Still, the identity of the stalker was officially pending. On Tuesday, Deputy Hall called Lauren to her office. The room was stark, only a battered desk, a corkboard and a file box marked Carter Case. "Sit down," Hall said, her tone gentle but clipped. "We got something." Lauren's heart thudded. "What is it?" Hall slid over a manila envelope. Inside, Lauren found a printed chat log, messages sent from her own email to Mark's private address, explicit messages, threats, dozens of them. "I never wrote these," Lauren whispered, shaking. "We know," Hall replied. "They're fakes. Someone spoofed your account. But the real break is this." She pulled up security footage, grainy, time-stamped, of a staff member in Lauren's classroom, late at night, typing on her laptop. Lauren leaned forward, breath held. The figure wore a hoodie, but as they reached up to adjust the lamp, the hood slipped back. Blonde hair and a narrow, familiar face. For a moment, Lauren couldn't process what she saw. "Pause it," she said. Deputy Hall froze the frame. Lauren's stomach dropped. "It can't be," she whispered. "Jenna." Lauren stumbled out of the office, mind spinning. She wanted to scream. She wanted to cry. But above all, she needed answers. She found Jenna in the copy room, alone, eyes red-rimmed. For a long moment, Lauren watched her, piecing together fragments. The comforting words, the home-cooked meals, the constant offers of help. Was it real or all a game? Lauren cleared her throat. Jenna jumped, startled. "I need to talk to you," Lauren said, voice flat. Jenna's face fell. "Is everything okay?" Lauren's anger threatened to spill over. "You tell me! Why were you in my classroom after hours?" Jenna's mask cracked. "Lauren, I can explain..." Lauren stepped closer, her voice shaking. "Were you the one who sent those messages? Broke into my house? Filmed us?" Jenna's eyes filled with tears. "I was trying to protect you. I wanted to stop you from making a mistake. Mark, he's not who you think he is." Lauren's voice rose. "So you stalked me? Tried to ruin my life?" Jenna reached for her, but Lauren recoiled. "It got out of hand. I just wanted you to see how dangerous it was. But then the board got involved, and the police, and I panicked." Lauren's fury was white hot. "You're the reason my life is in pieces." Jenna sobbed, clutching the edge of the copier for support. "I'm sorry. I never meant for it to go this far. I thought I was saving you." The door opened. Deputy Hall entered, her face a mask of professionalism. "Jenna Givens, you're under arrest for criminal harassment, cyberstalking and unlawful surveillance. You have the right to remain silent." Jenna collapsed as Hall cuffed her, tears streaming down her face. Lauren watched, numb. All those weeks of fear, all that pain, and it had been her closest friend. The aftermath was chaos. Teachers whispered, some angry, some relieved. Lauren met with the superintendent, who offered a formal apology and administrative leave to heal and regroup. Mark called, his voice small, shaky, to ask if she was okay. She told him she didn't know. Mrs. Beecham hugged Lauren fiercely, whispering, "It's over, or as close to over as it ever gets." Lauren nodded, exhausted beyond words. But even as Jenna was led away in handcuffs, Lauren couldn't help but feel the loss of trust, of friendship, of the sense that her world made sense. She spent the next day in a daze, replaying every moment with Jenna. Was any of it real? The community, for its part, turned its attention to healing. The police released a statement. The news vans left, looking for fresher drama. But Lauren knew that even as the headlines faded, the scars would remain. Late one night, Lauren sat at her kitchen table, staring at the stack of letters and messages she'd collected. She wrote in her journal, not for evidence, but for herself. "When the mask slips, the truth hurts. but the truth is all I have left. She didn't know what her future at Crestview would look like. She didn't know if she could ever forgive Jenna or herself. But she knew she had survived. And as dawn broke, painting the world gold and new, Lauren realised she wasn't afraid anymore. Chapter 7. The Last Lesson. 2 months had passed since Jenna's arrest. Winter was beginning to loosen its grip on Crestview. The snowbanks lining the sidewalks had shrunk to gritty piles. The sky thawed into soft blue, and for the first time in weeks, sunlight streamed through the windows of Lauren Carter's classroom without feeling like a lie. The scandal had faded from the front page, replaced by sports scores and mayoral drama, but inside Lauren, the echoes remained of trust shattered, of fear and fury, of standing on the edge of a life she no longer recognised. She had taken a short leave from Crestview after Jenna's arrest. At first, she didn't want to return at all. She'd applied to schools in other towns, browsed online job boards, even toyed with leaving teaching altogether. But something in her refused to leave under threat. She wanted to walk back through the doors of Crestview, not as a victim, not as a scandal, but as herself, scarred, wiser, but still standing. Her first day back was quiet. No cameras, no reporters, just her students, older in a way that had nothing to do with time. Some looked at her with sympathy, others with guilt, a few with admiration. Most just looked. She stood in front of them, hands folded, breath steady. "I know the last couple of months have been confusing," she said. "I can't speak about everything that happened, but I want you to know something. Telling the truth isn't always easy, but it's never wrong." A beat of silence. Then, slowly, someone clapped. Others followed. It wasn't loud. It wasn't theatrical. But it was real. Lauren smiled, the kind of smile that reaches the eyes. Outside the classroom, things were changing too. The school board quietly let Mark resign, for personal reasons. He moved away weeks ago. No farewell email, no goodbye. Lauren never heard from him again. She didn't miss him. What she missed was who she thought he was. Jenna remained in custody, awaiting trial. Her lawyer was building a case around mental health, obsession, and blurred boundaries. The evidence was overwhelming. Emails, surveillance, the planted files on Lauren's laptop. In the quiet corners of Crestview, people whispered about her fall from grace. But Lauren didn't join the whispers. She didn't feel hate anymore. Just grief for the friendship she thought they had. What Jenna did was unforgivable. But Lauren refused to live with bitterness. That would mean Jenna still had power over her, and she was done giving her that. Deputy Hall came by Lauren's house one Saturday afternoon. She handed over the last of the case files, the final sign that the investigation was closed. "You did everything right," Hall said, sipping her coffee at Lauren's kitchen table. "Most people fall apart when they're stalked, especially when it's someone close. You stood up." "I didn't feel strong," Lauren admitted. "Doesn't matter how you felt," Hall said. "You were." Before she left, she paused in the doorway. "Don't forget what you told the kids. Truth's not always easy, but it's never wrong." Spring came early. The grass grew green again. The flags out front of the school stopped freezing in place. And slowly, so did Lauren. She started walking after school again. Same route, down the neighbourhood trail and back. She stopped checking over her shoulder. Her phone stopped buzzing in the middle of the night. She deleted the folder called Evidence from her desktop. She stopped waking in the dark, heart pounding, afraid of nothing and everything. She reconnected with her sister, went out to brunch with a few teachers who'd quietly stood by her side, even joined a local book club. She found herself again. Not the same version that entered Crestview full of idealism or the one who fell into a relationship with her boss out of loneliness and longing. No, this version had edges, had boundaries, had grit. Near the end of the school year, Lauren stayed late to grade essays. As she packed up, she found a note slipped under her door. For a moment, her breath caught, but this one was folded neatly. No threatening handwriting, no jagged edges. It read, "Ms. Carter, thank you for staying, for coming back. You taught us more than English this year. You taught us how to survive." Anonymous. Lauren smiled through tears. On the last day of the semester, she stood at the front of her classroom one final time. Students chattered, the air thick with summer anticipation, backpacks half zipped, phones buzzing, futures waiting. Lauren looked around the room and said, "Before you leave, I want to remind you of something. Life is full of voices. Some will try to scare you. Some will lie to you. Some will tell you who you are. Don't let them. Know your truth. Speak it, even if your voice shakes." Silence, then applause. And as the final bell rang and her students filed out, Lauren stayed behind for a moment, soaking in the quiet. It was over. Not the story. Not the teaching. Just the fear.